If you have your Bibles, open to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Starting in verse 1 and going through verse 10, the Bible reads, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know that ye not, the friendship of the world is an enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your tongue be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." James, just reading these verses, knew all about selfishness. He knew that conflicts and fights come from our own selfish desires. He knew that vain prayers are uttered because of selfishness. He knew that friendship with the world was the root of selfishness. And he knew that in order to combat selfishness, we need humility and godliness. Well, let's look at our situation. These words written 2,000 years ago. Has anything changed? Go down and look in world history, and you'll see all manners of things because of greed and selfishness. We live in a world today that is consumed by selfishness. Everywhere we turn, we see people who want what is theirs. The major sins of our society: abortion, fornication, adultery, murder, euthanasia, theft, and I could go on and on, has its root cause of selfishness. We live, believe it or not, in a give-me-a society. A society that is never satisfied with less. It is always give-me-more. But what are the major contributing factors of the selfishness in our society? If you want to look in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verses 4 through 20, you will find here that Samuel has been governing for quite a few years after the judges. His son now was governing, but his son was doing a really bad job. He was very corrupt. He was very greedy. And the people said there, "Give us a king that we might be like all the nations around us." Their desire wasn't merely to rid themselves of evil judges, but to be worldly. They didn't recognize that they already had a great king, a king who led them out of bondage in Egypt, a king who had led them through the wilderness, a king who allowed them to conquer the lands they now live. In Hosea chapter 13 and verses 10 through 11, Hosea writes here, "I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save these in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou say, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath." Only two men did God appoint king over Israel: David and Solomon. Israel's first king was Saul. And while Saul believed in God and had trust in God, Saul became full of himself. Saul stopped being a leader, became an idol unto himself. Worldliness is a great temptation. We are bombarded to be like the people of the world. If we look, and it doesn't matter what media you look to, it promotes worldliness. Give me better skin. Give me a sexier body. Give me the attention of the masses. Give me, give me, give me. And do we want to be just like them? The Bible warns us against worldliness. John, in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, John here writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is in the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." When we became Christians, we changed, didn't we? Weren't we supposed to change? Paul in Romans 12, in the first two verses, he tells us that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we're not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, those of us who are getting older, our minds seem to be able to be renewed a lot more. Because a lot of the things out there, we've tasted. And we found it bitter. But a lot of our young folks have still have to taste some of those bitter pills. So hopefully, they will continue to renew their minds and change and continue their transformation. Are we really ready to jump off the cliff with everyone else? You know, back in World War II, when we invaded Okinawa, the Japanese citizens, there was a mass suicide. The Japanese army and soldiers had convinced the civilians that the Americans were coming, that they were going to butcher and rape and destroy every human being on that thing. So, in order to resist that or to take away that, they en masse jumped off the cliffs into the sea. Is that where we want to go in this world with the temptations of the world? Our home is in heaven. It's not here. We're just passing through. In 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 2, here we find probably, at least in my mind, one of the greatest examples of covetousness that you can find. We have Ahab. And there next to Ahab's property, there is a man by the name of Naboth. And he had this beautiful vineyard. And Ahab would look out the window and he'd admire that vineyard. And he wanted that vineyard. And he wanted it in the worst way. He had offered to pay Naboth for the property. But Naboth told him, "No, it's not for sale. This is my inheritance. This is all I have left. It's not for sale." And Ahab became very distressed. And Jezebel had come on into his chambers that one day and seen he was distressed, and she asked him what was wrong. And he said, "Well, I really like Naboth's vineyard, but it's not for sale." And I'm paraphrasing and using my own words, but Jezebel said, "I'll take care of that." So Jezebel created a problem that caused the death of Naboth. Through Jezebel's treachery and Ahab's complicity, he acquired his heart's desire. Covetousness is one of the great temptations today. If we don't have the latest and the greatest, we have to have it. All you have to worry, watch, is when a new phone comes out. And it can only come out 6 months after the new phone came out, and they're going to be lined up to exchange the old phone for the new phone. If our neighbor has it, we have to have it. Give me the new car. Give me that new sound system. Give me the TV or the furniture. Just give me it. But the question is, do we really want to define ourselves in the terms of our neighbor's possessions? Jesus in Luke 12 and verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. In 1 Timothy 6 and verses 6 through 8, Paul told Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. That we didn't bring anything into this world and we're certainly not taking it out. So be content with food and clothing. Eventually everything we have, everything, will be burnt up. Life is not the physical quality of possessions. The physical quantity of possessions. But the spiritual quality of holiness. In Luke chapter 15. Some of you probably think, I knew he was going to get to the prodigal son sooner or later. But here we have a young man. A young man who was tired of living in his brother's shadow. He wanted a life of his own. So he asked his father for his inheritance and he moved out. Now most of us here, sitting here, knows exactly how he spent his money and where he ended up. Now I'm sure that he left home with more than enough money to make himself comfortable for the rest of his life. But he wanted to indulge in selfish pleasures. You know, we want to satisfy our personal desires. That's just natural. There are things we want. There are things that we desire. You know, but we want to be free from problems that other people cause. Give me freedom. Give me personal time. Give me my space. Give me, give me, give me. To what extent? A lot of us remember going through drive-thrus 10, 15 years ago and the level of service that you used to get. And now about the only thing you can get out of their mouths is you want fries with that. Because they don't want to be there. They would much rather just come in, collect their pay, and go home. And that's becoming prevalent in our society. They're seeking after self. But does Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33, does it say that we are to seek after self? No. It tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Did Jesus say in Matthew 22 and verses 37 through 40 that we are to love ourselves with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind? No. We are to love God and our neighbors that way, not ourselves. When we can love like that, then we will love ourselves because we will want to be the person we want to be around. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just can't live with myself? I'm just a mean old cantankerous individual. I don't know how anybody can put up with me. But you know, with all this gimme, 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 you might want to be asking the question, well, where does self come in? Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." That's where self comes in. Let me look after each of you. Let you look after each of us. And it goes on. And we're together. We're all selves together. Selfishness is destructive. It's ruining our society. It promotes laziness and strife. You know, the couple of years ago when they had the Wall Street demonstrators all out there complaining about just a certain percentage of people's got all the money. Well, they would have some in their pocket if they went to work. But they wanted everything shared. You know, it wasn't too many years ago, 400 to be exact, that there was a group of pilgrims that landed on Plymouth Rock. And their first year in this brand new country was spent near starvation because everybody helped everybody to build a house, which is a good thing. But all of the crops and everything that they raised was going into the community chest. And everybody would have an equal share. So what happened was that a lot of the people realized that they had a few hard workers out there, but they didn't have to really put a whole lot of effort into it because everybody's going to get their fair share anyway. And if it wasn't for the Indians, there'd have been a bunch of skeletons out there. Well, they finally realized that they all have to work together, and you have to work for self and you have to work for others. And the rewards became great. Our Thanksgiving feast, or at least we tended to that thing, didn't come the first year they were there to thank the Indians. It was because of the abundance that they had when they finally started working together for themselves and for others together. It stopped being a give-me world. And it became one that many others were able to enjoy the benefits of. But there is a give me that we do need. We find it in John 4 and verse 14. It was the woman at the well. She said, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The water of life." We all need that. And we all need to be saying within our own hearts, "Give me, give me, give me some of that." God wants us to have salvation and eternal life. But we need His Word to live in our own life, within our own heart. If you're not a child of God, will you say not tonight, "Give me some of this water"? The invitation is open. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you are a child of God and you've gotten caught up in some of the things of the world and you need the prayers of the congregation, you want to ask God for forgiveness, we want to give you that opportunity. If it's something personal between you and God, please don't delay and go to Him. But if it's something that needs a public confession, if it's something that is weighing heavily on your mind, that you need the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you the opportunity this evening as together we stand and we sing.